Hello, this is Big Michak from BPM Tips, and I have a great guest today with me, Professor Marcello La Rosa. Professor Marcello La Rosa is acting head of BPM discipline and academic director for corporate programs and partnerships at the Information Systems School at the Queensland University of Technology in Brisbane, Australia. His research interests span different BPM areas, including process consolidation, mining, automation, in which he published over 100 papers. Marcello has taught BPM to practitioners and students in Australia for over 10 years. Based on this experience, he authored Fundamentals of Business Process Management, the first comprehensive textbook on BPM, which has influenced the curriculum of over 150 universities in the world. Using this book, he co-developed a massive online program on BPM, which has attracted over 20,000 participants, including me. The MOOC is awesome, by the way. First of all, thanks a lot for joining me today, Marcello.
Thank you for the invitation. Much appreciated.
Marcello, you're teaching thousands of people worldwide BPM. In the MOOC that I'm currently, I see people from all around the world. So America, Australia, Africa, Asia, all around the globe, and both students and practitioners. How those experiences of teaching thousands of people worldwide BPM influence you? Do you see any interesting trends regarding BPM maturity and reasons why organizations start managing their processes?
So there is, as you know, the traditional interest in the using BPM for improving operational efficiency and quality of products and services that are provided by an organization. However, as a reflection of higher levels of maturity that organizations are reaching, we have observed some new interesting trends, meaning an interest in using BPM, for example, for compliance and for improving agility, the flexibility of an organization to react to an ever-changing business environment. For example, we have observed from a number of participants that operate in the financial and especially the government sectors, an increased interest in improving compliance, for example, avoiding non-compliance issues or violations to the laws, to the regulatory framework, through using BPM techniques. And this is relatively new as opposed to the traditional interest in improving quality and efficiency. Another interest, as I was saying, is in using BPM to improve the flexibility of an organization, its ability to react to changes that are provided by the business environment. This could be cultural changes, regulatory changes, changes in the economic setting where the organization operates. So this is very interesting, of course, to experience these situations where organizations are indeed using BPM beyond the traditional focus on quality and efficiency. However, I'm yet to see the full potential of BPM being exploited. In a way, we see that with this big wave of digital transformation, there are new opportunities coming up, for example, as offered by emerging new technologies, such as social network platforms, as well as emerging business models, for example, crowdsourcing or brokering in peer-to-peer environments, for example, peer-to-peer lending. Now, BPM can clearly be of help to improve the networking with customers and partners. For example, in a way to exploit these emerging technologies or emerging business models. For example, I could use BPM to identify what processes I need to modify or what new processes I need to put in place to jump into peer-to-peer environments where I can act as a broker, where my organization can act as a broker. We are not yet there. We didn't see these topics being discussed in the MOOCs. But I'm confident that one day we will get there. Of course, BPM is catching up with these emerging topics. And I must admit that from a research point of view, approaches in this area are not yet consolidated. They are still in their infancy.
If I can ask a question about regarding those what you mentioned, do you see any geographical differences between which reasons for BPM are stronger in which areas? I live in Poland, close to Germany, so I see that in Germany compliance is traditionally very, very strong. On the other hand, I see that in other countries, compliance is not such a big topic. Do you see any differences from the geographical point of view?
Yeah, I can say indeed that we found out that certain countries, like in Europe, as well as, for example, here in Australia, where compliance is a big item on every organization's books, then there was a stronger emphasis on compliance. Whereas we saw, especially in the Future Learn MOOC, where we had a large proportion of the participants coming from developing countries, especially in Africa, where there the interest was relatively strong on the traditional use of BPM for efficiency and quality. So this is something that indeed I recall as being a geographical difference or a difference in use in interest of BPM determined by the geographical location of the participants.
What would you do? How would you start if you would like to implement BPM as a management practice in organization? Let's imagine that you're one of the students of the MOOC and you're totally confident that BPM has potential. But what would be the first step? Would you start with modeling, with doing something else?
No, I would definitely not start with modeling. So, I mean, here, if we want to use BPM as a, if we want to start implementing BPM as a management practice within the whole organization, then we need to start moving away from the scope of a single project and a pretty operational level focus to a more enterprise level focus, where we start managing potentially multiple BPM projects that may occur, may take place concurrently at the same time within the organization, and we need to be able to manage them holistically. So the first step that I would do is to start implementing in an incremental way a governance structure to manage these multiple projects in BPM holistically. So the aspects that this governance structure would need to focus on would be primarily defining the roles and responsibilities of all those involved in BPM initiatives. What is the role of the process owner? Who can I talk to if I need to know more about what methods and what capabilities we have in BPM within our organization? What is the role of the process participants, those actors that essentially work within the business processes? How can we get into their knowledge as part of a BPM initiative? Then I would define, again, incrementally, a process architecture that identifies the processes within our organization and their interrelationships, logical and temporal. For example, a quote to order process precedes an order to cash. Why this is important? Because if I want to manage a range of projects holistically, and these projects may look at different business processes, then I need this not to happen in isolation. I need to know that given that the order to cash and the quote to order processes have a temporal relation, I need to know that if I manage these two processes at the same time, potentially into different projects, I need to know that this relation exists such that if I do something, if I improve one process in one way, this does not create potential inconsistencies on the process that cascades down in this value chain, that follows up in this value chain. So this is another thing that I will have to focus on, and especially I will need to prioritize the management of the business processes within my organization, starting from the process architecture. Prioritizing the management means establishing what is the strategic importance of each business process, as well as I can use other dimensions, such as the health of the business processes or the feasibility in changing of changing these business processes. Once I come up with a prioritized list of processes, then I can define a roadmap for my next BPM projects. What are the processes that I'm going to manage next and why? Why? Because I know their strategic importance. Then I need to define a clear portfolio of BPM services. What are all the services that I can offer to my organization? Can I do modeling? Can I do analysis? Can I do improvement? Can I do automation? Can I do monitoring, etc., such that it is clear what this BPM team can provide to the other parties of the organization, and how I need to interface with the team if I want to exploit these BPM services. And that will allow me to understand what are the methods and tools within which I have, for which I have capabilities within my organization, and in turn will help me establish a roadmap for BPM training. So all you, as you can see, all this in a way helped me come up or reach a higher level of BPM maturity, starting from a few isolated ad hoc projects to all the way up to a center of excellence that holistically manages a range of well-synchronized BPM projects. So this is what I will do. And then, of course, within a project, I would follow the BPM lifecycle and avoid jumping into subsequent steps. So I will diligently follow the lifecycle and then start with modeling, then analysis, redesign, implementation, and so on.
You mentioned following the cycle and avoiding jumps. But you see that people often make mistakes. Could you tell what are the most common mistakes that newbies in BPM do? Where do they try to cut the corners? What do they do wrong, which totally derails everything? What are the top three errors you could mention?
So I can think of three or four common mistakes that BPM practitioners typically make within organizations. One is having a strong focus on activities, methods, and tools rather than on the values that we want to achieve through BPM. And this is symptomatic of a lack of strategic alignment. So we go back to the previous question. So how to manage holistically a set of BPM projects. So it is important to identify the strategic alignment of the BPM initiative with the priorities of the organization. So often we have a BPM adept that is very excited about a particular method, say Lean Six Sigma, or a particular methodology like Lean Six Sigma, or a particular tool. They become very excited about a particular BPM system. And then they try to push for the use, for the uptake of that particular methodology or tool within the content, within the context of the organization. And in the meantime, however, they lose the ultimate goal. So why do we need BPM? We may embark in a large journey where we train dozens and dozens of employees in Lean Six Sigma, but we know that Lean Six Sigma is about improving efficiency and quality. And if our strategic priority is to innovate, so we need something different. If we want to come up with innovative products or services, Lean Six Sigma is not going to be of much help. So the choice of the method pretty much should be determined by the strategic objectives that we want to achieve. Compliance, agility, quality, risk mitigation, networking, efficiency. And on the basis of that, we should come up with the right repertoire of methods as well as tool to use. The second is a problem related to a lack of governance. The fact that we have a number of siloed BPM activities, which again goes back to what we discussed before. We need to really establish a governance structure such that we know how to manage multiple projects at the same time. Otherwise, these projects may lead to diverging outcomes. They may try to improve an overlapping set of business processes coming up with conflicting redesign options, or even leading to the redundant work because we did again, over and over, the same type of improvement. And that is a waste of money. So then you see that the cost-benefit ratio within BPM then starts to crumble down because we are expending too much as opposed to the benefit that we are getting. And again, if the benefit that we get is not directly linked to the strategic objectives of our organization, again, the existence of the old BPM initiative may be put at risk. So, siloed BPM initiatives, and also believing the BPM can be the single source of truth within the organization. So losing the link between BPM and other equally important disciplines, for example, risk management, project management. It is important as part of a governance structure that we also establish the link between BPM and these related disciplines. For example, how should I use BPM within a project if in that project I'm following a typical project management approach? For example, I'm following PRINCE2. How do I link BPM into that if the project is not directly started by the BPM team? And finally, I believe that another common problem is the lack of a change management plan. We do diligently execute a BPM project throughout the various phases, starting with discovery, of course, after having identified the processes within the organization. We model these processes within the discovery phase. We deploy a range of qualitative and quantitative analysis techniques to analyze the performance of this process and identify issues. Then we come up with a set of options, a set of proposals to change this process in order to fix the issues that we have identified. And then when it comes to process implementation, we stop. We do not succeed at implementing the change effectively. So, business as usual. People keep working as they were working yesterday, as nothing has changed. This is because we do not have an accompanying change management plan that involves process stakeholders, those that will have to comply with the new process design early on in the BPM project, by seeking their input already in the discovery phase through to analysis and redesign. So this is also, even if for as obvious as it may sound, a very common problem, a strong focus on BPM methods and tool and a lack of focus on change management.
Now, I would like to ask additional question, building on your first answer about value. Imagine that you're a new manager of BPM team, so there is already a BPM Center of Excellence, but the board recently changed. They have no clue about BPM in general, they have never heard it, and you have 3 months to show the value of BPM to the organization, especially to the board, so that they know that it makes sense to pay you and your team. How would you approach
So,
this?
let's assume that the previous board was indeed very supportive of BPM, and all of a sudden we miss this top-level support.
Exactly.
Now, usually to sell BPM, we can use two different approaches. We can use a push approach or a pull approach. In the push approach, we push for the use of BPM based on generally acknowledged benefits that BPM can bring. You know, BPM can help us improve operational efficiency, improve the quality of products and services, improve compliance, and so on. However, this approach can only work, an approach where, for example, we tap into international case studies, or we even look at case studies within our domain. But this approach is not tailored to the specific needs of our own organization. And unless you have already the top management support, is going to fail. So the other approach that is clearly more demanding is the pull approach, where you try to pull to yourself existing problems and priorities within the organization, and you tailor, you adapt the BPM message to responding, in order to respond to those needs and priorities within the organization. So what I would do in 3 months is that I would try to get in touch with the new board members in isolation and try to understand indeed what their priorities are. And then I would work out a message that doesn't necessarily need to use the BPM jargon. It may not even mention the word process at all, but that it tries to respond, of course, using under the curtains BPM methods and techniques to answer to those questions. So I would tailor my message to them. And then, if I'm given a chance, I would pilot a small BPM project that can prove the potential benefits of the approach. For example, say that you have a new executive manager for marketing, and he has some general knowledge of BPM. So he'll tell you, hey, look, the all-new strategy for products in our organization is not about processes. It's all about people and their ability to be creative. Something fancy like that. So what I will do is that I will take that message and try to work out an innovation-driven BPM approach that can come towards those requirements, that can provide an answer to those requirements. For example, I would say, do you need to reach out more to your customers and to your partners to seek indeed this feedback on creative products or creative design, innovative design? And if so, do you already have an approach, an idea on how to reach out better to your customers? Otherwise, I can use my own BPM methods to do so. I can design new marketing processes that are aimed at reaching out my customer, for example, by tapping into modern technologies like social media. So in a way, BPM has to be tailored to the priorities of the organization. And that's the typical pull approach.
Okay, next question. You mentioned running a small pilot project. Do you have any good practices regarding which area, which process, or which process types should be selected for those pilot projects?
So, especially if you are at the beginning or if you don't have much time, and if indeed the whole BPM initiative is at risk of being dropped, then you cannot take a high risk. You have to select a process that on the one hand is core, it has some strategic importance, though it is not critical for the organization, because if that was the case and you would, for whatever reason, fail, then you would compromise the existence of the whole BPM project, right? So you have to carefully select your process in a way that it is core, but not critical. And also you have to carefully select the scope. That can be one or more processes in a way, if you wish. But whatever number you choose, the scope has to be restricted, because you know that the higher the scope, and the higher the number of processes that you pick, the higher would be the complexity of the project itself. And especially if you have to run a pilot within a bounded time frame, say 2-3 months, then you want to deliver fast. And so you have to really keep the complexity within control. You have to be able to work on something that you know that you will be able to achieve results in a relatively short amount of time. Something that you could use would be, for example, database techniques such as process mining, where you can get results in a relatively short amount of time, and you know, you are confident that these results would be a true representation of process performance and issues with these processes, because they are directly based on data.
You mentioned process mining. Earlier, you also mentioned some new trends in BPM. Could you tell how do you see the future of BPM in 10 years?
10 years. Oh, that's funny, because usually I'm asked about a 5-year time span. And then, you know, within 5 years, I have a relatively, say, good idea of what could happen. In 10 years is a quite
Yes, it is
long
very long.
shot. But let's give it a try. So we talked about process mining, and this is an area of interest for my research. So I'm doing a research. I've been doing recently a lot of research in the area of process mining. So process mining is a set of methods that were devised within academia, but that finally are also being employed more and more systematically within organizations. You see organizations in different sectors doing more and more work in the area of process mining. So in a nutshell, process mining is about inferring actionable process knowledge from the IT logs of an organization. You take logs of transactional operations such as orders, procurements, loans that are created by a common IT system within an organization, such as an ERP or a CRM system. And then you start analyzing this data in order to infer actionable process knowledge. What does it mean, actionable? It's knowledge that essentially allows you to take remedial actions in case you find issues like performance, compliance issues. Quality issues, it can be any type of process related issue. So what I will see at least within 5 years would be a more systematic and capillary uptake of process mining within organizations. Within 10 years, however, I would see an advancement of techniques in process mining and their uptake. So nowadays, say in the vast majority of process mining projects in industry, process mining is used as an a posteriori tool. You analyze historical data and reflect on issues of the past. Issues that might still be current, but at least you are looking, but anyway, you are looking at historical data. So there is, of course, some lag time that will be required before you can implement actions to rectify the issues that you have identified. With increase of computational power and the sophistication, increased sophistication of process mining techniques, I see more and more the ability of shifting process mining from an a posteriori tool to a real-time tool for predictive process monitoring. So I would like to see, say in 10 years from now, the availability of tactical dashboards that allow stakeholders to take immediate actions on the running business process instances. So not on those of the past, not just reflecting on instances that have been completed, but trying to rectify current process instances on the fly. For example, this dashboard could predict whether the process KPIs are going to be met and with confidence level are these going to be met. Or could predict if there is a high risk of violating a service level agreement or that this current instance becomes uncompliant. And if you think through, then this tactical dashboard could also act as a recommender system that continuously, on the basis of these analytics, which could be visualized in a fancy way, if you wish, could help the stakeholders suggesting them what remedial actions to take, how to avoid this risk, how to minimize the risk of non-compliance availability, or in order to keep the process efficient, how should I relocate resources within my process and to where should I relocate it? So it's predicting that there is going to be a congestion in 3 days affecting this particular area of my business process. Also looking inter-instance, so by looking at a shared pool of resources across different instances of potentially different business processes, could be procurement, ordering, etc., etc. So how should I best allocate my resource pool, my shared resource pool, in order to avoid ending up in these efficiency issues. So I see that as an area of development for research and clearly an area of great interest for industry. Another idea related to that would be to be able to get more punctual, more informative data, for example, by tapping into Internet of Things devices that would be deployed in the workplace and could provide up-to-date information on, for example, the location of the resources within the organization. I'm thinking, for example, of the employment of process mining techniques in combination with IoT devices, for example, in a minefield, where I can track real-time the position of all the miners, and I can predict whether they're going to be late for their next task. And I can also track the position of machinery and other resources involved in the mine site. So I think that this would be two areas of very interesting, where we will see very interesting developments in the near future.
Thanks a lot for a great interview, Marcello. For those of you who would like to learn more about the MOOCs and participate, simply visit moocs.qut.edu.au. If you want to follow Marcello, visit his site marcellolarosa.com or follow him on Twitter. Thanks a lot.